Support for the Legislative Gazette comes from New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals standing with more than 600,000 workers in education, human services, and healthcare with the Our Voice, Our Values, Our Union campaign. And United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President. UUPinfo.org.
There was a somber tone to Governor Andrew Cuomo's 10th State of the State message this week in a year where the state is facing a $6 billion budget deficit and reeling from a recent spate of hate crimes, including a stabbing attack at a rabbi's home in Rockland County. The Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt reports.
It is going to be a challenging year.
Cuomo says 2020 has also already been a frightening one, with more storms in Puerto Rico, deep and bitter political divides, and the attack on Orthodox Jews celebrating Hanukkah that injured five, one severely. Rabbi Chaim Rotenberg, whose own son was hurt in the attack, was a special guest at the speech and delivered the blessing.
I will never forget the horror of that night. But I will also never forget how we continue to celebrate after the attack, how we continue to rejoice in the miracle of Hanukkah.
Cuomo drew cheers from the audience of lawmakers, lobbyists, and state judges when he outlined his proposal to create a new crime of domestic terrorism. He says it would give law enforcement more tools to fight crimes motivated by hate.
And send the strongest message across this state and nation. New York will not stand by when our people are being victimized and killed by hate.
In a year with a multi-billion dollar budget gap, the governor focused on items that will help pay for themselves, including a $3 billion Environmental Bond Act. It would repair areas damaged by recent floods, including along the St. Lawrence River and Lake Ontario, and protect public lands against climate damage in the future. Cuomo also laid out a plan to legalize the adult recreational use of marijuana in New York.
Let's legalize adult use of marijuana.
He'd create an Office of Cannabis Management to establish stringent safety and quality controls and also better regulate other hemp and CBD products. Cuomo says legalizing marijuana could bring in $300 million in new tax revenues. And he says part of that money should go to communities disproportionately affected by the decades-long criminalization of the drug. Despite the deficit, the governor is proposing cutting taxes for small businesses and the middle class, although he did not provide details of how to pay for them. He did acknowledge that spending on Medicaid, which accounts for the bulk of the gap, has grown too large lately, and he says the system needs some restructuring. And he hinted that local governments, who have seen their share of Medicaid costs capped by the state in recent years, might have to pay more going forward.
We're paying $177 million on behalf of Erie, $175 million on behalf of Westchester, $2 billion on behalf of the city of New York to cover their local costs.
Andrew Rhine with the watchdog group Citizens Budget Commission says it would not be wise for the governor to undo what has been considered a successful program.
The devil will be in the details when the budget comes out, but that's what we will be looking for, because that would be a reversal of a great element of progress that he's made.
The speech received positive reviews from Democrats who are in the majority in the legislature. Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie says it was a good, democratic, progressive message.
Particularly touching on issues that I think are important to our democratic hearts, speaking about poverty, health care, again, opioid education, all of the things, college affordability, all of the things that matter to us. So I think it's a good starting point.
Senator Patrick Gallivan, a Republican from the Buffalo area, says he would have liked to hear more about the governor's plans to amend a controversial bail reform law. It's ended cash bail for most crimes, but has led to some repeat offenders, including a serial bank robber, to be released on their own recognizance.
That's the number one thing I'm hearing about right now from my constituents, and I think it's somewhat similar across the state. When I look at the media accounts across the state of these different stories of criminals being released and reoffending again, there's no question people across the state are concerned, and we need to deal with it.
Cuomo said earlier in the week he was open to changes. But supporters in the legislature say the law is only a few days old and needs to be given a chance to work. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. Governor Andrew Cuomo's 10th State of the State address, Alan, and the governor focused on fighting hate crimes, a plan to legalize adult recreational use of marijuana, a $3 billion proposal to borrow to fund more environmental programs, ending the pink tax, helping gig economy workers, paid sick leave, expanding college tuition, and more. Your thoughts, Professor, on the speech?
It was a good speech. I mean, he gave a dynamic speech. The people in the audience applauded on cue, and it was reminiscent of an old FDR speech as he headed towards the White House. I think Andrew Cuomo may have made the assessment, we're not going to win this, and then I'm next up. I think that's very possible. You know, he's got an election in a couple of years, and we'll have to see who his lieutenant governor is going to be, because there may be an assessment that that lieutenant governor will become the governor. I do think that Andrew Cuomo, I've always said, is both competitive with his father and in love with his father. He loved his father. And he's now talking about running for a fourth term. That's something denied to Mario. And running for president would seem to me be on his bucket list based on Mario's inability to have achieved that office, too. So I think if you listened carefully to the speech yesterday, you heard a great deal. What you didn't hear is how he was going to solve the problem of the $6 billion deficit that they have. He mentions it, but he didn't tell you how he's going to change it and what he's going to do about it. Bail reform also didn't come up. This is a big problem. Bail is a divisor between the liberals and the moderates in the state Senate and in the assembly. People come up before a judge and they have done something like a woman slaps two women in the face, goes out and does it again under the new bail procedure, which is that unless it's a violent crime and there's no bail. You mean when you slap somebody in the face it isn't violent? Come on. That's ridiculous. On the other hand, a very good argument can be made that bail is for the rich. You know, they can afford it, whereas somebody who's poor can't. And obviously, the people who steal and do despicable things are quite frequently poor. So we have a huge incarceration rate in New York State and in the country. And this gets down to the wrong of letting somebody go who might go out and do it another time. And the idea that it's just not fair the way we work the system.
So let's continue this discussion now over some of the proposals, because there's a very interesting article in the Times. This was before the governor gave his State of the State address, but it points to what's in it. Cracking down on vaping, eliminating a legal loophole that allows rapists to walk free if their victim was voluntarily intoxicated, exploring a drug importation program from Canada to cut drug costs. The more than 30 initiatives, says the New York Times, trickled out by Governor Cuomo during the last month in advance of the State of the State address, have been wide-reaching, all falling under the motto of, quote, making progress happen. Many also fall into the category of proposals that had already been introduced by progressive state lawmakers during the 2019 legislative session or in some instances for years. As the headline says, legislators are frustrated as Cuomo plucks ideas.
That's right. One of the things that's great in New York state politics is that the governor signs a bill and it becomes Cuomo's bill, and somebody else put it up. And I remember a guy was walking around the Capitol years ago putting up wanted posters, not for a governor, but for another Democrat who had stolen their idea and said wanted for bill stealing. So they can get quite a huffy. And if you were in their place, you would, too. You come up with a good idea. The governor says it in the state, steals it in the State of the State message, and you really are angry about it because you think it's your bill, but it's not.
Very common, right, Alan? I mean, we used to hear that argument with President Bill Clinton, parties stealing ideas from other parties, co-opting their ideas.
Well, usually the party in power is the one that's able to steal from the party out of power. Now, there are no more Republicans in New York State, at least for now. And you've got a Democratic governor, Democratic House, Democratic Senate. So Republicans can have great ideas. Senator Jim Tedesco has come up with some great ideas in the past, and they've been Bill Knapp, too.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Well, in advance of the State Address this week, New York Governor Cuomo released over 30 proposals. The Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley spoke with 115th District Assemblyman D. Billy Jones, who reviewed those proposals and says he's taking a wait-and-see approach toward the governor's plans.
They call this what the slow roll of his proposals. He's been doing it the last couple of years, the last several years. So I always like to see what's in the details behind it and how we're going to approach it. I have seen a few proposals that I like and some that I'm hesitant on. But we'll know more when the State of the State does come out, when we get to, you know, the details on what his proposals are.
On these first impressions, what do you make of the agenda that he's outlining?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the banning of fentanyl, which a lot of people would assume is banned already, but there are certain loopholes in the law. We certainly, with this, you know, this opioid and this drug crisis that we're going through, we want to do everything we can to help people that are in recovery and that are addicted to these illicit drugs. And there's other proposals. Take, for instance, the, you know, importing drugs from Canada. I guess he's setting up a commission to study it. We need to figure out a way to lower prescription drug costs. I want to see what is going to come out in these proposals. You can say you're going to import prescription drugs from Canada, but what does that entail? Is that on the manufacturing end? Is that direct consumer to consumer? How do our pharmacies play in that? At the end of the day, the bottom line, will it be a lower price to the consumer? That's what we're trying to get.
I think also in part of that same proposal regarding drugs and reimportation, there was also a mention of expanding access to medication-assisted treatment for opioid use disorder mm-hmm. in hard-to-reach communities. The North Country has been one of those hard-to-reach areas. Do you think that this proposal can move forward far enough and quickly enough to help the needs of the North Country?
It's needed. We have seen, cases recently here in the North Country where this still is a big problem. We need to get to these people that need our help in this. And, I've been a proponent. I've been an advocate for our addiction and our substance use and our recovery community. I support what we're doing here. We're doing good things, but we certainly need more tools in the toolbox to do that.
Assemblyman Jones, one of his other proposals talks about stronger net neutrality protections across the state. And I saw that and thought, well, that's nice, but what about getting stronger broadband access across the state so that we can worry about net neutrality protections?
You must have been reading my mind. We were thinking the same thing when we read it. One of my top priorities is providing internet, fast internet coverage for residents here in the North Country and in my district, along with cellular service. I'm on the Upstate Cellular Task Force. But I mean, net neutrality is something that, you know, we want to see, but we want to see service here. Or we want to study net neutrality, I should say, and make sure that our consumers that are paying these prices are getting the service that they deserve. I will say on top of that, though, we need to have the coverage to even be in the game to talk about that.
As we go into the session, what are your priorities?
How long do you have? My priorities always are what I can do to benefit the residents here in my district and in the North Country. Certainly the first part of this process is the budget, and that's going to be quite a process this year. We're facing a $6 billion deficit, something that hasn't been faced by our state government in over a decade, the size of the deficit. So certainly that is going to be a top priority, of course, as the budget always is, for the first 3 months that we're in session. but I want to continue to see funding available for the programs and the organizations that benefit people here in the North Country. That's what I've fought for. I think we've been very successful in the past couple of years. That certainly is. There are some legislative priorities of mine. I have the SALT legislation that we've talked about in the past, along with Senator Little. That is something we'll be pushing forward on. There's all kinds of things. My EMS bill, certainly to provide a level playing field with these smaller fire departments, to help them provide services to our residents. Public safety is a top priority of mine, so I believe this legislation will help in getting first responders, because in a lot of our towns here, and it's becoming a real issue to get volunteer first responders, volunteer firefighters, and we need to do something to help them out. They are the backbones of our communities here in the North Country, and we certainly need to look at ways where we can help them help our residents.
Democratic Assemblyman D. Billy Jones represents the 115th District, which includes Clinton and Franklin counties and four towns in St. Lawrence County. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. A new survey finds consumer sentiment levels, both nationally and in New York, are at or within reach of the highest readings seen in the last decade. Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas spoke with Don Levy, director of the Siena College Research Institute.
Consumer sentiment finished the fourth quarter of 2019 on a high note. The index sits at 93 points. That's up about 5 points since the previous quarter. And really, it shows a continuing robust level of confidence amongst consumers across New York State. We've been in that area of the 90s on the index reading now for the last 3 years. And really, I think it's a nice time as the decade ends to take a look back and say, where were we 5 years ago? Where were we 10 years ago?
Levy says the past decade dawned with consumers pessimistic and reluctant to spend.
The current reading is 27 points over where we were 10 years ago. So whereas 10 years ago, consumers were reluctant to spend, they were concerned about the economy, their place in it, they were pessimistic. Now, we are far more optimistic, despite the continuing concerns that we have about a variety of economic issues. But there is a strength right now to the economy, both in New York State and across the nation.
Levy points out that when it comes to the future reading, how consumers feel about the coming years, New York consumers are slightly more optimistic than people in all other states.
We continue to be concerned about gas and food prices over the course of the decade. At times, concern over gas has dipped as low as 27% of New Yorkers concerned about gas. It's been as high as 72%. Right now, we're sitting close to the average, just below the average, at 41% of us are concerned about gas. Food concern, a little bit higher. The average over the decade has been in the 63% relative to concern about food. Right now we're a little bit below that. 58% of us are concerned about food.
Through the years, Siena's index of consumer sentiment has also measured consumer buying plans.
Here we see a continuing strength in terms of the willingness, the plans that people have to purchase major consumer items, cars, homes, home improvements, and these are significantly up from where they were 5 or 10 years ago. In fact, when we look back 10 years, there's about a 100% increase in the percentage of New Yorkers who plan to purchase these major consumer goods compared to where we were 10 years ago. We're up between 30 and about 60% relative to 5 years ago.
The survey was conducted in mid-November by random telephone calls to 402 New York adults via landline and cell phones and 400 responses drawn from a proprietary online panel of New Yorkers. It has a margin of error of plus or minus 3.6 percentage points, and there's a link at wamc.org.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
Listening to the Legislative Gazette, program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. As communities around New York find a way to combine services and regionalize to save costs, the leaders of four Albany area communities met recently to discuss ongoing projects and look ahead into 2020. The Legislative Gazette's Lucas Willard was there.
Officials from Charlton, Ballston, Clifton Park, and Glenville joined together at the annual meeting of the Burnt Hills Ballston Lake Business and Professional Association. The group is comprised of members from inside the footprint of the BHBL school district. Speaking at Glenville Town Hall, the Republicans detailed some of the major initiatives in their communities. Up first was Charlton Town Supervisor Alan Gradich. The rural Saratoga County town has the smallest population of the communities represented Wednesday morning. Gradich called 2019 a banner year for the growing Charlton. He highlighted investments in tech and infrastructure, including a recently secured $1 million state grant to replace an aging bridge. To illustrate how the community is changing, he mentioned the discussion surrounding the need for a new cell tower.
Back in the day, it used to be 30 people would come and complain about a cell tower and 3 people would want it. Well, now you have a public meeting, 30 people come to want it, and 3 people complain that they don't want it in their backyard.
Town of Ballston Highway and Water Superintendent Joe Whalen delivered remarks on behalf of Ballston Town Supervisor Eric Connolly and the town board. He highlighted retail and commercial growth and a new zoning plan. In 2018, Ballston residents rejected a sewer district in Burnt Hills, something the BHBL BPA advocated for. Whalen said he hoped commercial growth would continue regardless.
They will have to be creative there in doing so, but the supervisor and board are hopeful there.
Meanwhile, the town is still grappling with how to approach a sewer project to serve the Ballston Lake area, originally approved in 2015. Whalen said the town was recently informed it would receive $5 million from the state to support the project.
Supervisor Connolly and the town board right now are studying numbers behind the project to ensure that it accounts for any unforeseen obstacles and are hoping to have a 15 to 20% built-in contingency before breaking ground for those.
Clifton Park Supervisor Phil Barrett called 2019 a great year. He highlighted steps over the years to preserve open space, totaling about 1,700 acres permanently preserved. He also discussed the town's strategy to continue to attract more business to diversify its retail-focused Exit 9 corridor off of the Adirondack Northway.
With more people living within the Exit 9 area, more healthcare investment, hospitality, small businesses, all thriving in that area, and now we're going to have this beautiful green space that will be a tremendous asset to our community for generations.
Barrett said that the planning process for the 37-acre parcel purchased from the Shenandoah School District in a December 2017 referendum is nearing completion. Another major project for the town is a new building beside the existing town hall to accommodate a greater demand for town services.
This new building, which was $1 million, will serve the Buildings and Grounds Department for many, many decades. And then the sewer department's going to move into the old buildings and grounds facility, which will be more than enough room for them.
Glenville Town Supervisor Chris Ketzley, the only town supervisor representing a Schenectady County community Wednesday, also detailed commercial growth. He touted his focus over the last decade of building up the town's fund balance and putting money aside for future projects.
So I'm very proud of the fiscal conservative approach we've taken over the years to the town of Glenville, and it's put us in a position now where we're able to make some major investments.
Like Clifton Park, Glenville is also seeing a need for space to accommodate its public services.
This town hall does not suffice to serve the folks of the town of Glenville. We're a town of 30,000 folks, we're growing, and we just do not have the space in this town hall for our staff, for our record keeping, and for even meetings.
Ketzley hopes to build a new administrative building near the existing town hall and library. The existing town hall, which includes the town police station and court, would be a dedicated public safety building. Ketzley also discussed expanding the town's network of trails near the Mohawk River and to connect schools.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Lucas Willard.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. Copies are available. Call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 2002 or just listen or podcast on the web, WAMC.org. And join us again next week at this same time. For more news on New York State government and politics, for the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.